The Armchair Illini Podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the best online ticketing site you can find. Why? Well, because it pulls from every other available ticketing site to give you the best price possible. There's no need anymore to check out 10 different ticketing sites to find the deal you're looking for. SeatGeek basically does all of that for you. Not only that, but SeatGeek has a value system sorted by color to let you know if you are actually getting a good deal on your tickets or not. You can sort by best value, lowest price, and more. Now here's the best part. If you use code ARMCHAIRILLINOIS, all one word, you can get $20 off your first order. So what are you waiting for? Attend your next unforgettable sporting event or concert by checking out SeatGeek today. Again, use promo code ARMCHAIRILLINOIS, all one word, and get $20 off your first order.
They're holding their breath in champagne. They'll let you know. Peters on the roll. Looking for the end zone, throwing, it's caught! Daniel Barker, touchdown!
In the end zone, it is caught! Casey Washington's got it! Illinois pulled off the upset!
Welcome into the Armchair Illini Podcast Twitter Space Edition. Tonight's space is going to be devoted to kind of previewing this weekend's game. We'll have a Wyoming beat writer in here to kind of give us an insider's look at the team we'll be playing on Saturday, which should be a lot of fun. Thank you all for joining, being here, taking the time out of your Wednesday evening to hang out and talk Illinois football with us. So let's just kind of get the conversation going. I know we got a few speakers up here. How are we feeling about this matchup with Wyoming on Saturday?
I feel great about it. I think they're extremely beatable. And I also think our team's going to take a step up for sure this year.
Bro, you were, I remember last year you were talking about a New Year's Bowl game. Not this year, but like eventually, right? You still feeling pretty confident about it?
I don't think that's going to happen this year. but I do think we're on our way. I mean, help, Bielema did this 3 years in a row over at Wisconsin, right? I mean, there's no reason why he can't do it here. And also, let's be honest. If we had, like, average quarterback play last year, then our 5 wins turns to 7 wins easily, right? And that's being conservative. So, you know, if we can get average quarterback play this year, I think 7-8 wins is, you know, kind of within reach. And I think anything less than 6 wins is kind of a disappointment, to be honest, considering the talent and the growth that we've kind of seen from some of these guys.
Yeah. I mean, the point that I really wanted to make was the fact that Wyoming last year was 6-6. They went to a bowl game, but they started out 4-0. And then they went on to go, I believe, 2-6. Yeah, 2-6 in the Mountain West. And, I mean, that's kind of cheeks. The Mountain West is no, like, behemoth of a conference. So, I mean, if we could just do that, I mean, obviously the Big Ten is a lot harder. But if you can win your first 4 games, obviously including the Indiana game, and then just pick off 2 games. And then, you know, you play Purdue, you play Northwestern, Minnesota, Nebraska, you know, those are all games that, you know, you might have a good chance at winning. So win the 4 games, please. Just please.
Yeah, yeah, please. I mean, absolutely. And Indiana is garbage this year. I mean, they're not going to be very good. So, I mean, I'm not saying you can overlook Wyoming and say Indiana the following game is really bad, but, you know, very beatable.
If they lose to Wyoming on Saturday, what are the vibes going to be?
Oh, if we lose to Wyoming on Saturday, I expect either a 2-win season or a 1-win season at best.
I'm going to walk into the ocean.
As crazy as this sounds, I still think they could have like a semi-decent year, but like everyone checked out after week 1 because of that loss.
I don't see them losing to Chattanooga, and that, say if we lose to Wyoming, I think we beat Chattanooga and Northwestern, and that's it. the rest of the season just won't be fun if we lose to Wyoming.
Well, Chattanooga kind of gives me some concern. Whenever you play these small schools in the South early in the season, I mean, these kids, they play football down here. So it's just never a good look when it's early on in the season. So I always feel like bigger schools like, you know, in Illinois or whoever just overlook them. And I always get worried about that. So I feel like if we're able to stay focused, we shouldn't have a problem. So I just hope they don't, overlook them and run into any trouble with that.
Honestly, they also should have beaten us in basketball. That game was like an absolute Oh my God. I think they led for like 39 minutes and 30 seconds. Pretty wild. But with that being said, we have our friend Josh Criswell here, covers Wyoming sports. Josh, thank you for joining us. Appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you all for having me. Excited to break down this week zero matchup with y'all.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously, anytime a Big Ten school plays a, you know, Mountain West school or some out of conference school, especially in week zero, the expectation is to win. But do want to get a good sense of where Craig Bohl's team is at and what are some of the expectations for the year for the Cowboys?
Yeah, so it's interesting. You know, last year, I think, was the most first-place votes they'd ever gotten in the Mountain West preseason poll. They were supposed to finish second behind Boise State in the Mountain Division, and they started off 4-0 for the first time this century, got everyone's hopes up, and then things got to conference play, and it just kind of fell off a cliff. They went 2-6. They did rally with a big win in the Potato Bowl, kind of hammered Kent State, but it kind of went downhill again after that when there was a mass exodus. You know, I think lost 10 or 11 guys that started at some point to the transfer portal alone, not to mention, you know, Chad Muma and some of those other guys that left for professional opportunities. But I think it was almost a needed change just to kind of reset how everything is with the program. You know, this year, obviously not many expectations, picked to finish second to last in the Mountain Division. And I think that they kind of like that, and I think that's good for a young team with a lot of new pieces. You know, one of those obviously going to be the quarterback position. I know, similar to Illinois, they've been keeping things close to the vest. We got a big to be announced at the quarterback spot on our depth chart this week, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be a Utah State transfer, Andrew Peasley. It seems like he's a guy that a lot of people gravitate towards. So it's going to be interesting. You know, one thing they've done a lot in the past is they've relied on that running game, and they're going to do it again. But typically they've done that with kind of a two-back situation where both guys are regularly used. I think this year the plan is to pretty much, you know, ride Titus Swin and get him out of there whenever he needs rest. And he's a guy that, in my opinion, is going to be an all-conference running back this season. The thing that he did last year was you could see his power between the tackles and his breakaway speed. But one area he really had to improve was just becoming more of an all-around back. That was a thing that Xavier Valade was so good at in the years before him. And I think he's really done that by all accounts. Seems like he's really improved, not just as a pass catcher, but also in pass protection. So it's going to be interesting, but I think that there's almost a definitely, I wouldn't even say almost, there's just a tremendously better sense of team chemistry and unity, I think, in large part due to the fact that so many guys are really getting their first chance to be first team regular contributors at the college level.
Yeah, definitely. You know, really appreciate that in-depth response. You know, I think like Illinois, like you were saying, there's a lot of things being kept close to the vest, obviously, with you saying that the mass exodus happened. And then, you know, obviously a transfer quarterback is going to most likely take the job. But since Illinois is, you know, really expecting to have a new life on offense, you know, they got a new offensive coordinator. And then they also brought in Syracuse transfer to sort of reinvigorate the offense. I know Wyoming had Chad Muma last year, and he got drafted, I believe, in the third round. Wanted to know, like, what the defense was going to look like, because I know last year also there was some issues with the run defense. Illinois is obviously very strong with that. What's kind of the outlook, especially on the defensive side?
Yeah, so, you know, I guess I'll start with the linebacker spot because that's kind of what people know Wyoming for, and it's definitely going to be a new look. You know, Easton Gibbs, who played the weak side linebacker, they run pretty much a 4-2-5 defense. But it's interesting because he kind of did the same thing that Chad Muma did. You know, Chad Muma came in and he was the weak side linebacker that learned a lot from Logan Wilson, who was at the middle spot before him. And so now it's Easton Gibbs's turn to step up and take that role. He's really emerged. You know, he's in the past, I think guys would describe him as more of a lead by example guy, but he's emerged as one of the vocal leaders of the defense. So I'm excited to see what he does. He's bulked up and gained a lot of muscle weight, muscle mass, I mean, this offseason. So that's something that the team is really excited about. And then next to him is going to be one of the guys that came in with him in that same recruiting class, in Shea Suanoa. He's another guy that you've just seen kind of get bigger and bigger as each year goes on. So I think linebacker will be a pretty solid spot for them. The most experienced group is going to be that interior defensive line. Cole Goodbow led the team in sacks last year, I believe, and he was an all-conference honorable mention. And then Jordan Bertinoli, those guys have just played a ton of football. I think between the two of them, they have like 8 or 9 years of experience in the program combined. And defensive end is kind of the opposite, but there's a lot of optimism there. I think everyone that's going to see the field this year at the end is going to be either a sophomore or a redshirt freshman. They did have a pretty significant loss. They didn't really reveal for how long, but it'll definitely be out this game. And that's Sebastian Harsh, who is probably going to be one of the starters at the defensive end spots. But they still have some good guys. You know, they have a guy, Olu, who's really talented, just really big body, has a lot of athleticism. Braden Siders and Devon Harris, who they've gotten some playing time, Devon more than the others. And then some work on special teams and stuff like that. But I think the thing that they like the most about the DN group is the speed that they have. They definitely don't have as much size at that position. So I think that's something that might hurt them a little bit, especially against a power run game. But it sounds like their pass rush has improved pretty significantly. They were second to last in the conference in sacks, averaging under 2 a game and near the bottom of the FBS ranking. So that's something they hope can be better. And the secondary is interesting too, because you lose, you know, some really talented starters. CJ Colden went to Oklahoma and Azizi Hearn went to UCLA, and they were the number one pass defense in the conference a year ago with those two guys at corner. But there's a lot of excitement there because they bring back Cam Stone, who was sort of the number one backup for both of those guys, got some time when, you know, guys get ejected for targeting and things like that, but definitely needed another year or so to grow before taking on a big role. He's penciled in as one of the for sure starters. And then at the other spot, you've got Deron Harrell, who comes from Wisconsin. He's played against Illinois before. And then Ja'Cory Harris from Ole Miss is a guy that people are extremely excited about. Had an interception in the spring game and almost had 2 more, but ended up being drops. But he was just in position to make so many plays in the short amount of time he was out there. So that was one thing I think that has them really excited. And I think one thing, too, that's going to be different. Out of necessity last year, they didn't do any rotation at all, unless it was because someone got hurt or got ejected or something like that. This year, it sounds like it's going to be a pretty regular 3-man rotation. So you're going to have the 2 Power 5 transfers and then the sophomore that's finally getting his shot. At safety, it's again, they have a 6th-year senior in Miles Williams there. And then another guy in Wyatt Eckler, who's the brother of Austin Eckler in the NFL. And a guy in Isaac White, who was a redshirt freshman last year and only played the last 6 games, but he was arguably the best player in the secondary during that 6-game stretch. So that's kind of, a little bit of a synopsis of the Wyoming defense.
Definitely. And I was kind of watching a little bit of film from last year. You know, I'm not sure if you would know the answer to this, but I do know that they played a lot of cover 2, Tampa 2 style. You know, obviously with the Illinois offense going to look at least a little different under a new coordinator, you know, has Bull given any sort of sign of what they plan on doing, or do sort of a package that they plan on rolling out against the Illini? Because, you know, like you were saying, Bielema has kept things really, really close to the vest. So wanted to see if, you know, there was at least any hint of anything that the Cowboys plan on rolling out there.
Yeah, unfortunately, there really hasn't been too much that they've put out there. I think in my 13 months here, I've seen a grand total of 30 minutes that aren't of practice that isn't guys warming up or getting ready in individual drills, unfortunately. So pretty similar situation where they keep it close to the vest, but things are going to be pretty much the same on the defensive side of the ball, I think. I wouldn't expect much to change, but it is going to be interesting because they really don't face very many teams like Illinois that kind of like them want to do that power run approach. In the Mountain West, it's a lot of these high flying offenses, and I think that's one of the reasons why they use that 4-2-5 so much. But yeah, not very many hints coming out of Wyoming training camp this year.
Awesome, Josh. I appreciate you giving such great answers to our questions and giving some of your time. One question I have for you is this: if Wyoming, if they beat Illinois on Saturday, what do you think would be the main reason for that? And who might be the key players in an upset win on the road against a Big Ten team?
Yeah, so I think for Wyoming to get a win, it's going to all come down to finding efficiency at the quarterback position. You know, last year they went 7-2 whenever they completed 56% or more of their passes. And then they went 0-4 in the rest of their games and completed less than 43% of their passes. So they're going to run the ball, and I don't think with Titus Swinn that's going to be much of an issue at all. You have two really experienced offensive tackles in Eric Abogie and Frank Crum. So I think the running game won't be too much of an issue for them. I think it's just going to be finding consistency under center. You know, with Wyoming, you don't have to have these crazy numbers in the passing game, but you do have to be efficient. And I think one thing that could help with that is if they get away from the predictable play calling that I think haunted them a lot, especially early in Mountain West play. And if they open up the playbook, I think a lot of those running lanes will open up. And then also I think it'll make life a lot easier on the quarterbacks if the only situations where they're throwing isn't these third and longs where the defense knows what's coming. So I think that'll be big. I think getting the tight ends involved is going to be critical. You know, that's the most experienced position on the group. You've got Trayton Welch and Parker Christensen, who account for over 45% of the team's returning receiving production, I believe. So I think, you know, getting the quarterbacks to be more efficient and utilizing those tight ends is going to be the key to them winning this game.
And then kind of on the flip side of that, if Illinois is to, you know, really assert themselves as a Big Ten team, you know, what's probably the Achilles heel that Wyoming has that you think Illinois will, you know, at least try to expose?
Yeah, you know, I think kind of as I touched on earlier, I think the biggest concern or uncertainty is just going to be the size at the defensive end spot. You know, everyone knows what Illinois is going to try to do with Brett Bielema, and that's run it down Wyoming's throat. So I think that between the tackles or between, you know, the guard spots isn't necessarily going to be an issue with their defensive tackles probably being two of the most five experienced players on the team. But you've got a younger, smaller defensive end group whose strength is getting to the quarterback and just hasn't been tested yet. So it's going to be a pretty big first test going up against a Big Ten offensive line and what I think will be one of the most dangerous running back rooms in the country.
Awesome, man. No, I definitely think, you know, Illinois is going to try to do what it's due. It tries to do no matter what. Do you have a score prediction in mind?
Yeah, I'm still formulating it right now. I have to put it out every weekend with our big game day preview section that we do. And I'm leaning towards a 4-7 point loss for Wyoming. And I think the underbettors will probably be cashing their tickets at the end of that game. In my mind, it'll probably be something in that 21-7 14-7, 14-21 range. I think just the way these teams play, the game's going to go by quick, going to be a lot of clock running. So I don't think necessarily that Illinois will have the chance to beat Wyoming by two or three touchdowns just because I think so much time's going to get eaten up on the clock with the run game.
Man, I'm not sure Illinois fans want to hear a, you know, one possession game this Saturday, but appreciate your time, Josh. You know, really learned a lot about the Wyoming Cowboys. Before you go, just wanted to open it up to, you know, whoever's the speaker. If you guys had any questions for Josh before we, you know, let him get on with his evening here.
Yeah, I got one. As you were speaking, it kind of formulated in my head that do you think that the time of possession is going to be like one of the key opponents to whoever wins this game this upcoming Saturday?
I think it definitely could, because I think, you know, if Wyoming's time of possession isn't very high, I don't think it's going to be because they're, you know, airing the ball out and having incomplete passes. I think, you know, for Wyoming, if they win the time of possession battle, I think that's definitely a good chance for Wyoming bettors to win it. I think being an 11-point underdog right now. So, I think that could be a big difference. I think both teams' fan bases would probably like to see them kind of spread the ball out. So maybe we see some of that. Maybe Titus Swinn breaks a couple of big runs and time of possession isn't as big of a factor. But I do think it'll be a key on Saturday for sure.
Josh, I got a question. First off, thank you for coming by here and talking to us and giving us some insight on the Wyoming team. But this is a question actually not related to the game this weekend. I see you're a Heisman voter. Do you have a prediction for Heisman winner at the end of this year?
Man, it's really tough to tell early on. I think, you know, guys like Bryce Young are going to be, you know, easy guys to throw out there. I'd probably put him among my favorites at this point in the year. But, you know, maybe a long shot in the Mountain West that I'm really excited to watch this season is Jake Haener. I think he led the number 6 passing offense in the country last year. I believe Fresno State is the favorite to win the conference at this point with a slight edge over Boise State. So I think Jake Haener's a guy who by no means is a favorite or even a top 10 candidate at this point, but he's someone to watch where if, you know, Fresno State's a one loss team and he's just absolutely lighting it up out there, I would definitely be interested to see how he progresses this season.
That's awesome. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Josh, appreciate your time and appreciate your insight, man. I think we have a really good idea of what to expect Saturday. So appreciate everyone. Make sure you guys go and follow Josh. As RPD just mentioned, he is a Heisman voter, so definitely knows his stuff. So thanks, Josh.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. A lot of fun.
Yep.
Thanks for coming.
Dang.
All right. Anybody else have any Illinois-Wyoming thoughts to get off their chest?
Man, if it's a 7-point game, man, I'm going to be pretty pissed off.
You know, the way he explained how Wyoming plays, I mean, it definitely can be. I mean, if these two teams just hold on to the ball and run some clock, I mean, it, you know, it might be a little bit too close for us.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I completely think that the time of possession, after him talking about how Wyoming is as a team, is going to be like a key factor in who wins the game.
Yeah, I was thinking back to our space we had on here before the NCAA tournament. We had a Chattanooga guy on, and he was like, it's going to be close. Yeah. And then
and we were all just like, nah, it can't happen. And then,
then it was.
And then that happened. Dang, that's not what we needed.
No.
But no, that was great stuff. He really knew his stuff there. So, you know, we got a good one. But, man, if it's a 7-point game and I'm in the third quarter sweating it out in my living room, I'm going to be not a happy camper.
The vibes in Memorial Stadium. Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. The vibes won't be too great in Memorial Stadium if it's that close, but we'll see.
Oh, no. Yeah, that place has been through enough. It's going to go through enough this year, so you're hoping for, you know, week 0 against Wyoming to go pretty smoothly. So if it's not, I mean, I don't know what that means for the rest of the year.
The funny thing is last year against Nebraska, like, the beginning kind of stunk because, I mean, Peters got hurt. Everyone, like, Chase Brown wasn't playing. You know, the offensive line was kind of Swiss cheese, but the middle half wasn't that bad. I mean, we developed like a 30-7 or something, like 30-9 or something like that. And then towards the end, like Nebraska made a huge run. So we'll see. I'm just hoping it's not stressful. That's for basketball season.
They shot themselves in the foot so many times, especially on
the safety
punt with Amdo. Yes, that safety punt. Yep. He made way more mental mistakes than what Illinois did. And I feel if Illinois comes in, plays their style of football, controls the clock, they'll win, no doubt.
They, honestly, they have just to play direct
their style.
They just got a direct snap at a Chase Brown or Isaiah Williams a couple times because that's all you need to
wildcat do. Wildcat at every down.
Yeah. But
you know what fans will be saying if that happens. Is Matt Nagy running the offense?
No, oh, God. No, no, please. I think that's a good segue to the end of this.
Yes. If I see a few short little wide receiver screens like four times in a row, I'll know Matt Nagy's calling the offense. But thank you all for being here and chatting a little bit about Illinois, Wyoming. It's been a pleasure. Once again, go follow Josh Criswell, who is on here at Criswell_sports. He covers Wyoming really well and is a Heisman voter, as we mentioned already, and just really appreciative of him and his time that he gave to us tonight, which is really cool. And thank you all for giving your time tonight to come hang out with us for a bit. We'll be back on Saturday at some point after the game to do a reaction of some sort, hopefully to a win. That would be preferable. So thank you all for coming and hanging out with us, and we'll talk to you Saturday.
Peace out, everyone.
All right. Awesome. See ya.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye. Later.
Bye.
The Armchair Illini Podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the best online ticketing site you can find. Why? Well, because it pulls from every other available ticketing site to give you the best price possible. There's no need anymore to check out 10 different ticketing sites to find the deal you're looking for. SeatGeek basically does all of that for you. Not only that, but SeatGeek has a value system sorted by color to let you know if you are actually getting a good deal on your tickets or not. You can sort by best value, lowest price, and more. Now here's the best part. If you use code ARMCHAIRILLINOIS, all one word, you can get $20 off your first order. So what are you waiting for? Attend your next unforgettable sporting event or concert by checking out SeatGeek today. Again, use promo code ARMCHAIRILLINOIS, all one word, and get $20 off your first order.